This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those who don't know me, I'm a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. So today I want to talk about an experience I recently had. I recently came back from MineCon, and MineCon is the live conference that is run to celebrate the game Minecraft. So they pull 10,000 obsessed Minecraft fans together, some kids and lots of adults from all over the world, and they get together for 2 days of geeky fun. So, first thing we want to get out of the way, you are not going to create Minecraft. I am not going to create Minecraft. If any of us is ever lucky enough to touch the hem of the garment of a business that's successful, we will be lucky. It is unbelievably popular, especially for a game that is funny looking, that has graphics that would charitably be described as amateurish, that's hard to learn, has no real user manual for how to get started. And it was recently bought by Microsoft. Minecraft has more than 100 million registered users. And the latest information I'm finding is the second most popular computer game of all time after Super Mario Brothers. And it's the best-selling game ever on the PC. So, you know, it's a funny thing, but if you think about business and you think about content and community and you look at Minecraft, you really want to figure out why is this game so successful? It was never really expected to be this successful. The originator of the game certainly didn't think he was creating a multi-billion dollar winner in any way. He was kind of playing around and having fun. And nobody who saw the game at first, people loved it, but they didn't think it would be this successful. So I want to take a stab at some of the reasons I think make it what it is, hopefully with an eye to pulling some of those qualities maybe into our own businesses to get some of that magic for ourselves. So games tend to be loved products anyway. People love to play games, of course, because they're fun. They're entertainment. They're some of our, you know, our wonderful time spent with our friends playing. But Minecraft has some definitely special sauce, and I think most observers would probably agree that a lot of what is special about Minecraft, in addition to the fact that it's open-ended, so you can play it a lot of different ways, is the ecosystem that it has created. Because some of the most fun things to do with Minecraft are not developed by Mojang, which is the creator of the game. So Minecraft has something called mods, which are modifications people have made to the game to totally change the rules of the game, totally change the way that it's played. It has skins, so your character can look all different kinds of ways, and those skins are created by the community. They're not created by the company. And as any parent knows, it has YouTube videos, and millions of YouTube videos talking about different ways to play different aspects of the game. So it was Microsoft that bought Mojang, but honestly, it could just as easily have been Google, because YouTube is arguably the most important way that people learn about Minecraft and share what they know about it. Because one of the weird things about Minecraft is it's actually very hard to learn how to play. It's very confusing when you start playing, precisely because it is so open-ended. You could do all different kinds of things. You can build things, you can fight monsters, you can, and there's all kinds of things that you have to do at once. So you have two options when you start playing Minecraft. You can either get a friend to sit down next to you and help you figure out what to do. Lots of people do that. Or you can start watching some YouTube videos. And there are YouTube videos about just any style of play you can imagine, from building really cool things to fighting all kinds of monsters to funny things like adventure maps and parkour, which is where you jump around on structures, and you know, building entire cities or replicating the Starship Enterprise. If there's something you would like to figure out how to do in Minecraft, there are whole collections of YouTubers out there to show you exactly how to do it. And in a weird way, that difficulty, the difficult learning curve at the beginning of the process, pushes the gamer outside of her own bubble. So most games, you know, we sit there in front of our computer or our device and we figure out the game and we play and we put hours of practice in on our own. In this game, you have to go outside of your device almost immediately to go get the answers to find out how to do what you want to do. And the YouTuber community, I will tell you, are celebrities. I mean, really celebrities. So there are people like Joseph Garrett. He goes by the name Stampy Cat. If you have a youngish child in your life, you have heard Stampy Cat, I'm sure. He had 2.2 billion views on his YouTube channel in 2014. Close behind is a guy named Daniel Middleton. He goes by Dan TDM. He had 1.6 billion views in 2014. So these guys are really celebrities, even the ones with the smaller numbers. There's a very technical guy named Seth Bling, who used to be a programmer for Microsoft, and he packed a 1,000-person capacity room at Minecon talking about something called command blocks, which are very technical, kind of a mini programming functionality within Minecraft. So if you don't have 100 million customers yet, and you know, I definitely do not have 100 million customers yet, how do we pull some of this magic into our business? So here are a couple of thoughts that I have about it. First and foremost, I think the most important lesson is that Minecraft probably really would not have gotten off the ground if they had been serious control freaks about the game. So they left areas of permeability. They left areas in the game that kept the game safe. So it's, you know, it's not open to hackers, but it is open to modifications. So they embraced the mod community that creates these modifications to the game that can let you totally change the rules of the game and totally change the style of play. A lot of companies would have thrown up walls around the brand and the trademark. And, you know, they do their deals. They do licensed merchandise, but they also leave that room for the community to make cool things too. Because, you know, there are a lot of knockoffs, especially on mobile. There are a lot of knockoff games on Minecraft. The concept of the game is not that complex. You have blocks and you make things out of blocks. But you can't knock off that ecosystem. You can't knock off that rich experience that are created by the mods, the skins, the resource packs, the YouTubers. So the knockoffs, you know, they get downloads, they get views, and then the gamer gets bored and goes back to Minecraft. So I want to talk about five things that stand out to me about how Mojang Minecraft does things. And the first is one that is oft repeated in the social business world, which is any product that gets used by a community is more likely to create a community. So when technology let people play games with other people over the web, instead of, you know, having to come to your house to sit around your console or sit around a deck of cards, the popularity of a lot of games exploded. People like to do things together. So if your product is used with other people, you have a big head start on creating communities and eventually maybe ecosystems. So the second thing that strikes me is looking for how you can create more room in what I call the ecosystem. So a community is a group of people who like your product, use it, feel like they're part of something larger by using your product. I'll talk about some examples of that a little bit in a couple of minutes. An ecosystem is where other people or other companies actually make some of the experience with you. The company doesn't make every piece of the experience. That is revolutionary. And there are other companies that do it, but there aren't very many. But if you think about with your project, with your business, with your Kickstarter, whatever it might be, is there some way that other people could help create and build on the experience of using your product or your service? Is there any way that you could create an ecosystem where other people bring their expertise to the table? And I'll talk about what that looks like. And if you can make room for that kind of ecosystem, the third thing that strikes me about Minecraft is they celebrate the ecosystem. They don't just tolerate it. So they don't just allow people to create a resource pack, which is a collection of image files that totally changes what Minecraft looks like. So Minecraft notoriously looks very blocky and kind of primitive, but you can get resource packs that make it much more high resolution, much more beautiful, lots of different visual styles. Minecraft embraces that and welcomes it. They invited those YouTubers to the conference and gave them time on stage. They invited the people creating the modifications, the different game styles to its conference. None of those people works for the company, but they were celebrated at the conference and embraced. So if you can create an ecosystem, it's not just enough to make room for it. Then I think it's really important to open up and embrace and welcome, publicly celebrate the ecosystem for doing the work that they do. And why would we do that, right? Why would we give up control of our company? Why would we give up control of our user experience? The reason being, when you have certainly a community, but even more so an ecosystem that has co-created the experience, that ecosystem does the work of getting the word out. They do all the hard work of your advertising. Minecraft spends virtually nothing on advertising. They don't need to, because all over the world, 9 and 10-year-olds are talking to each other about Minecraft, and they're talking to each other about their favorite videos and their favorite style of play. So once you have created that rich collection of human beings getting together to make your product even more awesome, those human beings will be your evangelists. And that's, you know, why they have 100 million registered users. It's not because they bought all the advertising in the world. It's because they have an army of passionate users, not just kids, but adults as well, talking to each other about the game. And then the fifth thing that I think the Minecraft company does well is that change is inevitable. Change is part of the world we live in. It's especially true if you have a technology company or if technology touches your company. But within that environment of change, protect your community and your ecosystem. So when Microsoft bought Mojang, there was widespread worry/panic that Microsoft was going to come in and interfere with the ecosystem. So for example, that they would stop people from being able to modify the game so freely. But, you know, touch wood, Microsoft seems to get it. They seem to be embracing it. They understand that that rich experience is why this game is so popular and successful. And instead of interfering with that ecosystem, they're right behind Mojang, celebrating it, embracing it, and maybe giving them some more resources to be able to do that even in a deeper way. So because Minecraft is such an oddball, I thought I'd dig up some examples of some other companies that do some of these pieces well. And the closest analogy I can find is WordPress, the content management system. I blog on it. If you blog, you blog on it. Rainmaker platform is built on it. It's a wonderful platform, incredibly robust and rich. And WordPress really has that ecosystem. So there's the company that creates WordPress and keeps it updated. There's a community of programmers working on the open source code. And then there's an army, an ecosystem of WordPress developers, plugin developers, graphic designers. And so again, some of the neatest things about WordPress are not built by WordPress. They're some of the plugins and extra functionality that's been created to work nicely within the CMS. So WordPress and Minecraft always remind me very much of each other. But I did find a couple of other examples because, you know, we can't all be WordPress and Minecraft. So I got on Twitter and asked the question about companies, some of your favorite companies that have an ecosystem. One person mentioned, and I hadn't thought about this, FreshBooks. FreshBooks has a lot of add-ons to its functionality that have been created by partners. Now, it's not as much of the plugin that was created, you know, by sort of one passionate user. They are more created by company partners, but nonetheless, many of the great things you can do with FreshBooks were not created by FreshBooks. So there is definitely an ecosystem going on there. Another example from the gaming community is a company called Roll20. And they have almost 1 million users for tabletop games, role-playing games. It's a, what they describe it as, a community marketplace and community-based help and character sheets for people who like to play games like, let's say, like D&D, which is Dungeons & Dragons. Now, the cool thing about that is that Dungeons & Dragons itself is co-created by the people who play it. So there are players who play the game, and then there are dungeon masters who actually write scenarios for the game that other people can play. So it is a game where a company built some rules, but the community creates the experience. And so that's a kind of a cool double example. And finally, Logan on Twitter told me about a really cool project called hitrecord.org. And it's an open collaborative production company. So I looked at their website. It's really fascinating. And here's what they have to say. Think of it as a studio where artists collaborate on projects together and remix each other's work with the potential to contribute to money-making productions. It's open to anyone 13 years of age and older who wants to upload original audio, video, text, or images, as well as public domain, with the understanding that their work may be downloaded by other members of the community for the purpose of being remixed. For example, a piece of writing may inspire an illustration, which could then be turned into a piece of animation. So that is an extremely cool example of an environment. Hitrecord.org is a context or an environment or a platform where creative people can come together, collaborate, use each other's stuff, and make something cool and turn it into a business. So really, really amazing, very much a 21st century, you know, kind of a project, only because the technology allows the old artist's workshop idea to scale in a way that's really exciting and really makes it something different. So that's some of the ecosystem-based companies. They are kind of rare. And if you have some examples, I would love it if you would drop a comment into the pinkhairedmarketer.fm website and let me know of some other examples of companies that really create that ecosystem where part of the experience is being created by somebody other than the company. But I'm also going to talk about community, because community will tend to be the one more of us can leverage. And the most commonly seen community element is to let the community speak for you by creating what some people call a cult brand. So I have a brand new favorite cult brand, which is Saddleback Leather. And their tagline is, they'll fight over it when you're dead. So it's a company. They make great stuff, very, very well-made stuff out of leather, mostly bags, briefcases. They make suitcases that are just epic. And I travel a lot. I would actually not use one of their suitcases because they're just not as practical as my super technical wheeled suitcase, but dang, they're beautiful. They are just beautiful. So, you know, Saddleback, they have a small but really passionate following. I love something that the founder said on one of the pages on his site, which I have been compulsively reading and rereading for days now. He said, we want to be a household name, but only in a few households. You know, I thought that was just sort of beautiful. So they're really smart on social. They're very engaged. They have a great voice. They have a great product. They have a lot. They're really using sites like Instagram incredibly well because their stuff is beautiful. And there's no model photos on the site. So you can't see what the bag looks like on a person's shoulder, until you go out to social, Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, and see the photos that people have shared of themselves using the products. Really cool. The other one that you guys have heard me mention in the past was Goulet Pens, which is a fountain pen and good paper company online. Wonderful little business. I'm going to get Brian Goulet onto the podcast to talk about that business because I just think they're wonderful. I love how they do things. They really create a combination of content and community that really, really works. If Saddleback Leather and Goulet Pens ever get together, they will create something quite scary and beautiful. So I hope that will happen someday. But also think about something like the micro lending groups like Akiva. A lot of the charity groups are getting very smart about creating a cult brand with that charity, creating a memorable experience that people feel like they're part of something larger. So again, you know, there are now hundreds and thousands of these kind of businesses, these niche cult brands. Hugh McLeod called them global micro brands. And he was talking about this years and years ago. And I've never, you know, this experience is only getting richer and more dynamic. If you have a favorite one, a little cult brand where you feel like you're part of something by owning their products and using their products, drop it into the comments because I think that would just be great fun to hear about. That is the community and ecosystem experience that almost all of us can create by creating something more remarkable, by engaging more with our audiences and our customers, by trying to build products and services that are really meaningful, and then creating that experience of community. That's something that almost all of us can do, even if, you know, maybe we'll never be quite as cool and quite as amazing as Minecraft. We can create something really remarkable and beautiful that make people feel special and important for being part of. So that is it for today's Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer. The Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer are brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. And it's just been wonderful talking with you today. I hope to see you again soon. And if you'd like to leave a star rating or a review over on iTunes, well, you know, that would be just fantastic. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week. Take care.